SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions. What do you say, folks? We're in the mix here. Cooper Flagg, 2+ made threes. Baylor Bears catching 2.5. What time's this Magic game start?
It's Magic.
Catch at 8, 7:30. We're going to be in the mix against the Cavs. But we are in the mix right now with Mike Blewett. What better? Last time Mike and I talked, the real takeaway was, he knows where I'm going with this, BC Eagles. I mean, they hold Votek to 36. Not enough people talked about it, Mike. We're not going to make that mistake.
It's a streak, Kev. You win a couple of I mean, it's not technically not in a row. You win 2 out of 3 ACC games when you're at the bottom of the standings.
Yeah.
It's sort of a streak.
Surging. So,
yeah, we are surging late. Trying to qualify for the ACC tournament won't be easy, but we got a few games left to do it.
Are they not letting everyone into that thing now? Is that how that goes?
I mean, it's pretty large.
We're clocking
18 teams these days.
Is that a bad take from me? I think everyone should be allowed
in. I just do a first round of play-ins. Like, is the 13th ACC team any better than the 18th ACC team? Obviously, there's levels to this. So I'm with you. I say play it in wherever and then just arrive at the site where everybody plays. So I've seen a lot of those tournaments like that over the years.
Yep.
You get an 8-9 play-in or an 11-12 play-in, whatever it might be.
Yeah. Let's stick with college, but to the NFL draft. There's a lot of interesting reports going around right now. I'll just start with the top of the draft, Mike. With what we're hearing around the Tennessee Titans at this moment, are you expecting this team to draft? I've never seen this market before. You've been working the NFL draft as long as anybody here, at Sports Grid. They're actually posting the who will draft first market. Tennessee's a favorite. I don't feel like minus 280 is actually that strong for the team holding the pick.
I think that's fair to say that it's not as strong as it should be. I think we're hearing a lot regarding what they're going to do with it. Mike Borgonzi, their GM, was just on. I mean, he's doing the rounds at the combine right now. By the way, am I a sick individual to say that I like NFL offseason as much as the regular season? I don't know. I just feel like I might be, but I don't care. I do love it. Borgonzi's making the rounds right now. He's saying he thinks he'll need the entire process to go through and see who they're going to pick. Obviously, it's the right thing to say in order to help him bolster a potential trade market. I think really, Kev, if they had their druthers, they would trade the pick if they could get a haul for it.
Yeah.
Is part of that they are being angled away from Shador and they don't know if Cam Ward is a future superstar? I think these are all fair questions to ask. And is Shador even that elite level? Both of these players would be ranked behind the first several quarterbacks in the draft last year. If you're putting them all into one pool, doesn't mean I'm denigrating these players in any way. I just think that that has to be taken into account versus next year's. The Titans need a lot, Kev. Unfortunately, for myself and Joe Ranieri, it was great to host in the 1 o'clock window. We saw a lot of Titans football. A lot. I watched them every week. They were the worst team in the league. They earned that number one pick. Heavily penalized team. Terrible quarterback play. And there was nothing really to rely on. Their defensive line up front, Jeffrey Simmons, gets a lot of credit, and they should. There's some talent there, Harold Landry there as well. But they just need so much. And there's no way they're going to fix this team by drafting a quarterback now. Whoever they draft, if it's a quarterback, would get beaten up so badly. And I don't know any way that they can keep the pressure off of him for the next couple of years. I think you'd be wasting the quarterback by putting him on a team that needs this much help.
Yeah, I agree fully. I think far too often in the NFL, teams go, oof, we're terrible. We have the first pick, though. We got to take quarterback. I don't think that's true. Now, people will only accept Tennessee not taking quarterback if they trade out. Where I'm even more extreme is I actually don't care if they sit there and take Hunter or Abdul Carter. I take the best player. If you get a great you know, return, okay. But, you know, Mike and I have a lot of conversations on and off air about team building and things like that. But my follow-up question, Mike, because I think what might be more important then is, let's say it's not going to be a -280 Tennessee Titans drafting first overall. Where does your eye go to? Who feels like the team that is going to be looking to trade up and draft assuming quarterback in that first spot?
I think those next three teams on the board are the most likely. I think if the Raiders really decide that Shador is their guy, or Cam Ward, I think they're going to be the ones that are willing to move up to do it. They are historically a risky team. Tom Brady is calling the shots there. They have a very stable head coaching situation now, and they have a great offensive coordinator to work with somebody young. They didn't put this coaching staff together to let's just kind of build this thing from the ground up over the next few years. They want to make an impact. They want a stable force there, but they want to make an impact. They're trying to change it over as quickly as they can. There are other teams that have been able to ascend quickly by putting the right pieces together. They have a few superstars on the team. They just don't have any depth. And I don't think the way that Antonio Pierce was trying to play was going to be a winnable war in that division in this conference.
I think that the Raiders and Giants both make a lot of sense in this market. I think they both make a lot of sense in the Stafford market, which we are going to get into with Mike here in just a bit. But I want to stick on the Giants for a second, because I feel as if there are some, you know, spots that you can find on Twitter wondering, has the Giants given Shador Sanders somewhat of a promise? We see that way more in the NBA, I feel, than the NFL. But you kind of, you're going to be our guy. What I would say is, Mike, if that is the case, the Giants would be foolish to then say, Shador, you're our guy. This is how we've turned this franchise around. And then sit at three and hope he lasts with the first and two picks coming off the board.
I totally agree. Anybody that feels like Shador is their guy. And there's a lot of components that you have to factor in here, right? Yes, he may have been ranked poorly versus ranked lower if you're putting the last two classes together. But it does not mean that he can't be a franchise quarterback for someone. And if you are that team that is willing to take that chance, it doesn't matter where you have him ranked, the quarterback is going to shoot up draft boards, because that is the one thing that, if you need positional value, all of that kind of stuff goes out the window, Kev. You have to draft the quarterback now if you need it. The Giants do need a lot of help. That's the problem for Daboll, is that, yes, he'll have a quarterback, but this team is still really stinks around them. The Giants do not have a lot of talent. They have missed on a lot of early draft picks under Joe Shane. And the same dynamic we were talking about with Tennessee, I don't know that the Giants are that much better off. It's a stable organization, but it has not been a successful one. At least it's perceived to be a stable organization. They've been terrible for a decade. Terrible. Just as bad as the Jets.
The Giants, and maybe I am looking this, you know, the offseason, occasionally you can start to like teams more than you should. There's elements of this roster that I'm like, Neighbors is a star. Dexter Lawrence is incredible. You know, the offensive line, you at least say, okay, Andrew Thomas is my left tackle, but there's certainly a lot of other things they need to figure out. We'll talk more about the Giants quarterback situation with Mike next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we are live with you right here on Sports Grid. It is game time decisions early. Duke is scoring. Miami's not. No surprise. Providence hanging with Marquette. Georgia scoring every possession against Florida. Some of the early returns. Updated from the Celtics-Raptors game. Out of nowhere, that starting lineup did not include Kristaps Porzingis. People will not be very pleased about that, I am sure. We are here with Mike Blewett, though, on this Tuesday night because the NFL offseason, and I agree with Mike, I love offseasons. You know, if you said, hey, pick, you can only cover offseason or in-season, call me crazy. Call me, I'd probably see at the draft and not at the Super Bowl. But luckily, I get to do both. Look, the Stafford news is one that you don't see coming. And I think a lot of people, Mike and I just talked during the break, what is Stafford doing here? If you solely look at it from, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl, this is wild. If you look at it from what I'm seeing now, Mike, the Rams have zero interest in giving Stafford $50-plus million annually, which is a the number that franchise quarterbacks are making. This kind of feels pretty simple. And I think the relationship is done. I am at the point now I would be very surprised if Matthew Stafford was back with the Rams. Where are you at on this situation?
I think when you are a team like the Rams that is clearly made a move towards jettisoning at least one veteran in Cooper Kupp, and then the talks clearly haven't come together on his extension, and then they tell you to go seek a trade so you can see what the market value is. That's not a move to, like, why don't you establish the market value and then come back to us? That's what you're saying publicly, but that's not what that means. That means, like, go find a better deal somewhere else. We're not willing to get that for you. We're not going to pay you what Dak Prescott makes, whatever the justification is. The Rams have been a bold team, like you said. Before the break, they didn't have a first-round pick for 7 years, and they won a Super Bowl. They are happy to load up on assets. They played a little bit of a very top-heavy team when they won that Super Bowl, and it worked out for them. Now, we don't know exactly what Stafford is asking for, but he is, I believe, going to be in his age 37 season. He has remained remarkably upright to this point in his career, but he has suffered a lot of injuries over time. Is he going to age in the same way that some other guys have? Is he going to suffer breakdowns like Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers have? And when you have a tab of upwards of $60 million, I understand why the Rams are considering a decision like that. So I'm with you. I think it's unlikely that he comes back. And what are those landing spots? When you start talking about teams like the Raiders and the Giants, it seems like a fun fit at first, but does it really transform their team? Should they be paying a quarterback $60 million when they're not particularly close to challenging for a championship of any kind, and perhaps not even a divisional title? Do they even make the playoffs by adding Matt Stafford? It's a fair question to ask. As good as he is, he can't cure an entire roster deficit.
No, I don't think you're wrong about that, right? I'm not. So, I don't know, my current feeling is he ends up with the Raiders. I could be off with that. Maybe the Giants are obvious, the brother-in-law connection. You know, we've heard that. It seems, I don't love bringing this stuff up, but when Peter Schrager, one of the most respected and plugged-in reporters, brings up his wife's name and children as a factor in living situation of how this is going to play out, like, okay, if her brother being hired by the Giants is a part of the dominoes that's falling here, then maybe the Giants are the obvious answer, right? What I would say is, Mike, if he ended up with the Vegas Raiders, how much different are the Raiders' expectations than they were with the Rams coming into this season? I mean, not apples to apples, but like the Rams were supposed to be a team now we're fighting for a wild card spot. They ended up winning the division down year for the Niners, right? They win a playoff game. That's great, but like, I don't know if the Rams situation for Stafford specifically is as glorious as maybe some are making it out to be. Maybe I'm off base for you.
Rams gave Philly their toughest battle all during the playoffs, all during the last 6 weeks of the season. So
that's true.
They were a pretty tough team in terms of what Stafford. How does he transform the Raiders? Now, the Raiders are going through a really unique overhaul in with a Pete Carroll, Kelly, Stafford triumvirate that could really operate in offense extremely well, right? They have Jacoby Myers there. They have an incredible tight end in Bowers, an incredible option there. And I do think that it will they could take the offense to another level immediately. But like I said earlier, they would still be the fourth team in that division. Would you bump them up over the Broncos? I wouldn't. The Broncos defense is better. They have an all-time head coach as well. So I just don't know it's transformative enough. Now, with the Raiders having Pete Carroll at his advanced age and Matt Stafford at the advanced age for a quarterback, do you just try to make a three-year run here? And if it doesn't work, all right, we'll blow it up and start all over again. That would be an interesting dynamic to try. Can you get lower free agents in there for the next 2 years and take like a mini run at it as opposed to blowing the whole thing up and starting over again, which probably wouldn't sit well with somebody like Max Crosby, who's getting paid very well, but he's going into his seventh season. So he's not exactly a young player anymore. He's officially a veteran. I think those are all things you have to weigh if Matt Stafford lands at a place like Vegas. In terms of the family connections with the Giants and that in general, I think a lot of that stuff gets rumored, and it isn't really – it is a factor, but I don't ever think it becomes a major factor. There were so many J.J. Watt to the Steelers rumors because his brothers played there, and it just didn't work.
Good point.
They didn't have the money. It doesn't work out. You're going where the money is when you have 3 years left in your career.
Excellent point. The counter I'd offer up, maybe it's not a perfect one. It feels like every time someone in college hires someone's uncle, that kid ends up committing there. But
in
maybe it's a little different. It really is flawless in hoops. We'll be back with Mike after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back with you right here, and it is Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh with you guys here on this Tuesday night. We've got Mike Blewett here as well. And, Mike, we're talking some NFL headlines. We'll get back to the quarterback stuff. But we did see today momentum, I think, that Travis Kelce will be returning for at least one more year, maybe a final year with the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, we're at the Combine, a lot of chatter. Brett Veach, the Chiefs GM, said, quote, "We left it as it is. He'd be back, and we're excited to get him back and get him going." People took that as he's definitively back. I guess he is. How do you feel about Kelce heading into next season? I mean, is this still the – I don't know. I guess he's not the guy. He hasn't been the guy in the regular season for 2 years now, probably.
I think – what we saw in 2024 is probably a game plan for 2025, where you are managing the regular season to some extent for him to break out in important games and in the playoffs. We obviously saw a huge game from him during the playoffs, not each week. And it's okay that he's not what he once was. It's difficult to compare yourself to your previous Hall of Fame self. As you get older, it's not like you're going to be playing at the highest level and then walk away. It's atypical for NFL players. So I think it's good they're leaving the contract as is. It's the last year of the deal. The guy's made a ton of money off the field, and obviously he's got a lot of other interests, a very famous, significant other. But I think he wants to give it one more shot. I don't know that they are a lock to run it back in the AFC, but I think he'll be back if I had to guess. But to your point, guys can change their minds. It's not a lock until he says it is.
There was a report today, by the way. I don't know. Maybe I'm foolish to bring this up, but the validity seemed to be more than zero, that Gronk is considering returning to the NFL. Did you see this at all?
That would be kind of wild to me.
Yeah, they're shouting at me in the back that it's not true, but I don't know. Smoke, fire?
I don't see it. I think he's got a great gig with Fox.
Yeah.
I think he's seeing all of his friends now are retired, and Edelman and Brady. I think he's living a good life. That would be a mistake, but it's his life.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, let me go back to the quarterback stuff. So let's just say Stafford is gone, right? The Rams need to figure out the quarterback situation. I said this a few weeks ago. Feel like this could grow to the consensus. We saw a little bit of reporting out of New York that it's on the board. I think Rodgers walks in and plays for that team really at any number. He would have to be so excited to get the chance. I mean, again, the success we can debate, but I feel like Rodgers would play on the minimum if that's what they really, really asked him to do, to be with Puka Nacua and Sean McVay and probably bring Devontae Adams along for the ride.
Why? Obviously, price is a factor.
Yeah.
But just straight up, is Matt Stafford better than Aaron Rodgers right now? Yeah, I think so. So you're downgrading your football team, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You can spend the money elsewhere and move it around, but you're losing Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford, and think Aaron Rodgers is going to come in and make the team better. I don't think that. They have some really good young defensive players, which are helpful. Are you going to go on a free agency spree? That's been atypical for the Rams to do, but perhaps they can do it. I think they're building a good, interesting young core on defense. Nacua is obviously really good as well. They've been trying to fortify the offensive line for the last few years. It would be a strange move to swap out Stafford for Rodgers, but it's clear, as you stated, that they cannot come to an agreement on Stafford's future with the team. So I think you look at all options. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers has a lot left, but that would be one. I don't know where else they'd go looking. I think there's an also, too, Kev, while there's the quarterback class is probably not respected, there is an interesting pack of veteran QBs coming into the draft, like Tyler Shuck, Dylan Gabriel, Kyle McCord, Will Howard, guys that have a lot of starts that could be interesting when working with somebody the caliber of Sean McVay.
I think it's a great point. I think if you're the Rams, if the Rams in that front office go, look, we're not likely going to win a Super Bowl with Stafford. What we do know is we don't want to commit big money to him for a few more years. We can get Rodgers on the cheap, draft a quarterback within the first three rounds, try and set that kid up for the future. I could see that being on the vision board. Mike Blewett, always, always love getting the chance to talk some ball with you. It's the offseason, baby, so we'll be doing it plenty here on Game Time Decisions. We'll be right back on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quickly fly through anything that has not started just yet, which includes my favorite NBA side of the night, or actually my only. I just wanted to do this more. I've been tweeting them out. It's been going well. Sometimes when things like this, you know, get downhill, you hope it continues. I'm on Orlando, catching 8. It's down to 6.5. Let's get your updated numbers here. Whoa. What happened? Oh, Garland out, confirmed. Certainly thought that could be possible. I guess the books weren't banking on that, though. That's considerable. I'm not saying I wouldn't bet anymore, but you've missed the best of the number. Also, I assume you bet it earlier, right? I mean, the game tips off in like 6 minutes, but I am on Orlando +8. I'm on the Pelicans and the Spurs over 239.5. It's kind of a buy-low spot. The big game tonight, it's Lakers-Mavericks. So I'm on this LeBron double-double. I feel good about it. LeBron with his lowest two-game assist total, 9 in the last 2 games combined. It's not that he hasn't been passing. Well, maybe not a ton in the Portland game. No Luka, scored 40. He was passing against Denver. Guys weren't knocking too many shots down off of his passes. I think that bounces back tonight. I think LeBron is live for a triple-double. Played it at a 5-to-1 price, actually, on a free bet. I played some alt over 19.5 rebounds plus assists. I like LeBron James tonight to kind of stuff the stat sheet. I'm not as confident in his scoring. I'm actually struggling. The guys tonight whose scoring I'm more interested in is Austin Reeves and then Kyrie Irving. Those are the more interesting numbers for me tonight. Luka Doncic is where I think everybody is looking at. And this is kind of really simple for me. If you've been betting Luka since he's become a Laker, you can't look at tonight and not be like, whoa, what happened here? You feel as if it's hard to tell. Are you paying the price on Luka because of the great game against Denver? or because of the opponent. I think it is more the game against Denver, because some of these lines, because they've been so excited to post them, were out beforehand against the Mavericks. The prop against the Nuggets was 25.5. 30.5, we moved it 5 points. That's a ton. That is a ton. The assist number, right? We've seen the juice move quite a bit. Those 7.5. The rebound number, 6.5, 6.5, 9.5 tonight. Whoa, what are we, let's go, whoa, whoa. What's happening here, right? These numbers are shooting up on Luka. I can't get there. I'm not interested. Now, these are normal Luka Doncic numbers. So I don't want to act like they are atrocious, but if they were playing the Suns, would it be 29.5? 8.5 boards. 7.5 minus 110 on the assist instead of minus 140. That all makes the difference. So I think for me, I am going to pull back. I don't really want to throw Luka into anything tonight. Like, all right, you know, he's going to at least get 25. Like, it's minus 350 for that. I'm good. I want to grab LeBron rebounds, assists. I think Kyrie scores. I think Austin Reeves scores a little bit. His numbers, Austin Reeves' numbers look very low. I think because of how much they needed to assign to Luka, right? Austin Reeves' prop within this basketball game, let me just find it quickly. Excuse me. 17.5. What's that about? How does that make any sense? Like, oh, well, because Luka showed up. All right, well, let's remove the game he got thrown out with Luka. 22, 15, 23. Huh? Let's get Dave Sharapen here. Consig, great to see you. And tonight, Lakers, Mavs, everybody's talking, everybody's betting. I've said, and you'll know because you and I have talked about it a lot, but if you were betting Luka props against Utah, Charlotte, Denver, you look at the numbers tonight and you go, whoa, what happened here? Right? Yep. We rocketed everything up, and it's tough to figure out how much am I paying for what he did against Denver and how much am I paying for them playing Dallas. I think you're paying double, and it feels like you're paying an absolute premium on any Luka overs if that's where people are looking to go.
Not as much as maybe the Yankees would go get the money of the cup, which was, again, just outstanding work yesterday. Had me in stitches today. That was so good. You're paying extra. I don't know if double, but you're paying extra. There's no question. It's the game of the night. It's the storyline of the night. It's the Lakers. It's the Mavericks coming back to the Lakers. So everything about the numbers pumped up. The book knows you're going to bet it. So you add a point or two to the total. You know, I thought the 29.5 would have been a fair number. Does he score 30? That seems like the bet. Okay. And then you get a little extra, 31.5. Okay. The assist number is interesting, I think, because he might take that route. And I'm thinking like you with the Austin Reeves. I mean, that one I looked at earlier today, it might not be your man, LeBron, but it might be Reeves. He does it anyway. That's right. What he averages. He's going to get over his average. I would think so. Mm-hmm. Now, does the game script come into play in this? Because the line is, what, 9, 9.5 right now on the game?
Yeah.
The Lakers are supposed to win this one pretty easy, K-Dub. What if he don't play the allotted number of minutes that he's supposed to play according to these numbers?
And I would say, though, to that, and I think you and I, I'm not running a late 9.5 with the Lakers. I think Dallas will be up for this game as well. Yeah. Here's something for you. If the Lakers actually win this game to the degree where the last 6 minutes we're watching Bronny play, then we're going to have way different conversations. Like if they're up 20 with 5 to go, then we're going to – like, but Dave, I don't see that, right? I think this is a close game tonight.
I don't think so either, yeah. They might pull away and cover the spread.
Yes.
They're not going to – it's not going to be a game like – well, I mean, I don't even know how to explain what OKC did yesterday, where they're going to be up 20.
Now we're talking.
Fourth quarter. How about that? Right. You heard it here yesterday. You were on the T-Wolves. I mean, plus the points.
But
that
here's
was
funny
incredible
thing.
What happened yesterday.
All right, so let's rewind. Saturday, Lisi mm-hmm. was tweeting out that he was on Oregon catching, I don't know, 8.5, I think it was, maybe?
Eight and a half.
Against
yep.
Wisconsin.
Correct.
There was like 15 seconds left. Admittedly, I hadn't watched any of the game. They were down 3. I gave the little quote tweet, eyeballs, duck emoji, happy for my guy. Game went to overtime. I go, oh, he's going to kill me. Right? Now we got to survive. So last night, I'm holding 12 and a half.
No.
We're down a gazillion, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, let me tune this. Let's just see if we can sneak a cover out. Next thing you know, it's like, whoa. I mean, these boys are going to cover this number. Who knows? Maybe they steal it in regulation. And yeah. then it went to overtime, and I tweeted out, oh, no. Because if there's one team that could cover 12 and a half in OT, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I was like, goodness me, come on now, please, let's not. And look, it was obviously Minnesota won the game outright, but
yeah,
man, that was a stunner. That was really a stunner because OKC clearly just fell asleep in a way you don't see teams do, any team, really.
No.
And
no.
Minnesota... We went into overtime. They're like, you know what? We're going to stick with the lineup. Ant didn't check in until there was like 2 minutes left in overtime.
Correct.
That was
Correct.
Very surprising. Give Chris Finch credit. Press the right buttons.
Big statement game in a couple of ways. You know, the content space is already asking questions about, is OKC that team? And are they young? And
yeah,
that
it's
opened
tough.
The door to, uh-oh. Look at Denver. Look what they're doing. Uh-oh, look at the Lakers. Look what they're doing. In a series against OKC, either one of those teams, even without yeah. home court, who do you make favored? All those discussions were brought up immediately this morning upon people waking up and going, they blew a 16-point lead. They were leading by 24 going into the quarter. How'd that happen?
Yeah, it's a great point. One we can get into a little bit more. We'll update you on the live board as well next on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Game Time Decisions. Cleveland came out and treated Orlando like they were Mississippi Valley State. 8-0 run, but... we battled back. It's 10-7. So now we got a game on our hands. And now we'll play the rest of the way. Dave, I want to throw some... Well, you know, let me update you guys quickly. Duke is laying 31.5 live. Look, man, this should be a sleepy spot.
No.
But this Miami team is, I mean, hardly a Division I basketball team, much less a power level team.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have to give them credit, Dave. Like, to win like they did in the Garden against a real team and show up to Miami and be putting it on them like this, I think is impressive. I don't know. How do you feel? I would have leaned Miami catching a gazillion tonight. I didn't bet them, but I would have leaned that way if he made me bet the side.
A little bit of buzz out here with the people that I know. Was a Duke play in the first half today. They couldn't wait to lay 12.5, 13. Like it was a yeah. done deal. They already knew, you know. And yeah. a lot of times when you put up 24, you struggle mm-hmm. in the book to get a bet on the dog. That one stayed up there. Nobody grabbed it. And sometimes that's very telling when nobody grabs it because there's a lot of rhombuses and parallelograms that yeah. love a 24-point home dog, especially in a quote-unquote letdown spot. Listen, Duke's playing for the number one seed overall every time they take the court because they're getting – I mean, the ACC is terrible. Just facts. Like, it's not a good conference. It's not one of, even close to what it was. It's below the SEC by far. It's below the Big 12, which, by the way, Houston took care of business again last night. I don't know if anybody was paying attention to that. I know you've been saying it. So Duke has to play this way every time they take the court. Them in the first half – like I said, that was the play, and it looks like they're going to cover 146 left, leading 43-24. So barring a little meltdown here, they should cover that.
Well, let me tell you this right now. Those bracketologies that have Florida in front of Houston, and I like Florida. Don't take this as that much, but I don't like Florida's played very well. But George has put up half a century on him with time still ticking in that first half.
Hello.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Some things are going to change. Some things are going to change. Some things are going to change. Yeah. Here,
Florida second half might be an in-game play. Me and Wetzel will address that, because if the book flips that too much, you know, they've been known to turn it on in the second half, but they're due to come back a little bit to the field. They got a couple hard games left too. So the SEC is a gauntlet. They're not getting all the number one seeds. Everybody can relax on that. Mm-hmm. I got Duke, I got Houston, and I got Auburn. Right now, I think kind of locked in as number one seeds. Florida's not the other one yet.
Yeah, I think for Florida, it's on the board. I think Florida-Bama is going to be big, and Bama's home for the game. And at this point, with what home court's worth, I mean, what is it, Bama minus 19 and a half? Goodness me. I mean, this stuff's crazy, man. Truly, you got to imagine Bama at home. 6.5? Close to Florida?
It's between 4 and 6. I don't think it's over 7. 7 might be the point. You know, some books may take a lead with that and say get a bet on Florida in that spot, because like you said, it might be ripe for Bama to win that game. So just off the top of my head, no injuries and things like that, it's somewhere in that neighborhood. Is Bama playing tonight? They are.
Yeah, Miss State. Big game. Bama needs the roll here.
Game with juice.
It's too much. I almost want to bet the under. I might too.
Oh, what?
I might. It's crazy.
Who are you?
Well, you know what it is? So I've talked about this countless times on this show. This Bama team is one of one. You look at where the offenses rank inside the top 10, the 10 fastest offenses. Only one other offense is inside the top 100. It's New Mexico at 68. Bama's third. So I think occasionally the books, like they, I've been waiting for the books to throw their hands up, be like, I don't know what you want. Just make it 200. I don't know what you want from me, right? That's what I've been waiting on.
Yeah,
and I think that's what happened a little bit tonight. Like the fact that they opened the Kentucky game and 177.5 was insane to me.
Mm-hmm.
They popped the same number as last time with 206 on the board. And they got beat on all those opens. Game closed 180.5, so they took some closing numbers back.
Yep.
But I'm just going off their last number, right? All I'm saying is 174.5 Miss State feels tall. Feels tall to me. No.
What's the Alabama team total?
Yeah,
mid-80s?
175. Can we let this Bama team play the Pacers? Like, please, can we 91.5. Goodness
That's
me. 91.5.
91.5. I was going to say, I think they scored 90. That's the number. Wow.
Yeah,
that's
come
high.
On, man. Okay. I don't know. I might sneak a dollar or two on the under. Just sneak it. We'll see.
All right.
Phew.
How about Tennessee on the road in LSU?
I took an LSU team total.
You took it under?
No, I took it over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tennessee's strong defensively.
The best in the country, some would say. That Tigers group's got something, I think, coming into the night. By the way, listen, I don't want to be a negative Nancy or anything. That's stupid Nebraska game. Neither team last night touched 50. Like, that's CLV. I mean, goodness me. Forget the trash can. Back up the dump truck. Are you kidding me?
Man, oh, man.
151.5, neither team touches 5-0? Wasn't right.
That's where I look over in the room and say, Walsh, which one of them made that number? We got to have a talk. I mean, that was way off. All right? Everybody remembers when they fall right around the number or on the number. They don't ask when you miss by 50. By 50.
You know you're in bad shape when the game hits halftime. You go, all right, we need overtime, and that might not be enough. Like, it's you usually enough. Root in overtime with like 10 minutes left, and you're like, oof. We were rooting in OT after the first shot went up. All right, we'll be right back with you here. They could have played until right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, is that Total Resistance KW in the house? Kid's getting a little big over here. Hold on, I turned the mic out. I don't know what Dave is saying. We're trying to drop a couple pounds. Listen, here's the thing. I'll always be big no matter what.
It's time.
Yeah, that's what they say.
You know, use those bands.
The turtleneck covers quite a lot, though. I'll tell you that. It's like, wow, People
are getting turned out with the turtleneck. I posted that clip of me and you talking about the Yankees and the beard.
Right.
And even right side got involved in it on the socials.
He did.
You know?
He did. You know what? Listen.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, not bad from him. He's on one right now, good old DRS. I'll give him some credit. Hey, let me show you something.
You never know where he's going to get you. You got to be careful when he gets involved.
Yeah, it's a great point. I want to shoot something your way, Dave. Our team found this. I actually was really surprised. Oh, disclaimer. Sorry, it's about the draft.
That's fine. Go ahead. I heard you and blew it. You covered it all.
But I was very surprised that they post.
What?
They're in the back debating who deserves credit. I love them all. They're so nuts, man. I wish I couldn't hear them, but this is whatever. Dave, I don't really remember a market of who will draft first. Like, usually we're always talking to people about, that's why it says first overall pick, so they're protected from trades, this, that, and the third. We know sometimes these books like to be aggressive. I was pretty surprised to see that as a market. I'm curious what you think about that. And would you agree the team holding the pick being under minus 300 suggests they really think there's a chance they trade it?
Oh, without a doubt. If it was our book, K-Dub, you could come to the table all you want. You can bring Blewett. You could bring Lisi and all your other draft people, even Yarnell and Kofsky and whoever you want. We ain't putting this up. There ain't no chance of putting this up. No way. Because somebody's going to come in and snipe us on the Jets at 12-1.
Yeah.
And then a day later, somebody's going to report a trade. And I'm going to go, how did we not know? I mean, seriously, how did we not know? This is too much the chance for me. I heard you say earlier, is this true? That if you could pick between covering in season or off season, and you only could pick one, off season would be minus 125. That would be the favorite. Are you serious right
good
now?
Good number. I think another bet is minus 130. I do. It's fun. It's good. It's fun for me. Yeah. Again, I don't know, like that. And then we get in season. I'd be like,
guy. Do you like this combine coming up?
You know what I really like? Can I tell you what I really like?
Tell me.
I like a pro day on TV at around 2 p.m. and then listening to Donnie react to it is what I really like. Like, look, man, they were in a warehouse throwing the guys that they just pulled out of math class. Like, I'm not sure what we're watching here.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, NFL fever hasn't died down. We were setting over under Josh Allen interceptions next season was a pre-show talking point.
What was the number?
Whose number do you want?
I want them all.
I'll tell you. Here's what happened.
Just give me the number. 6.
First number got posted. Got bet up so much. We were told joke number, void all bets, new number. That's what we heard.
First number
got posted at 7.5 plus money to the over. And next thing, I meant 9.5. Void all bets.
Right.
Void all misprint. I went, I think 10.5 is a little more appropriate.
I think I know who set the 6 number. I mean, forget about it. I mean, a guy.
He does,
it.
Too.
I know. There's no question.
Too.
I know who said it.
He does. So he does.
That immediately gets thrown out, and we go right to the double digit number. Right? it's 10. We go right from 6 to 10 and get buried. It's one of those things. Listen, it is fun. Enjoy it. I'll be on vacation for the next week. I'll see you later.
6 to 10. Right. All right, listen. Put him up. Look, man. Put him on the KBO. We're not. No, he needs time out. He needs time. I'll tell you
what.
He
goes right to the NASCAR with that.
The problem is, he would be so excited to book the KBO. Look, we're buttoning it up here. Don't forget, we're going to do Oklahoma State catching 10.5. LSU team total over 63.5. Pell Spurs over 239.5. And then Luke against the Mavericks. What do you think we're doing? LeBron double-double, LeBron triple-double, LeBron over 19.5 rebounds plus assists. What did you think? Turtleneck Tuesday. In-game live is next on Sports Grid.